Welcome, everyone. It would be nice if all the tables had at least a few participants. So if someone wants to join Simon in the front, that would be nice. Maybe a few people are coming. They have to do the walk of shame to the front. Okay, welcome to this workshop on life transitions. As you hopefully know by now, my name is Katha. I'm not going to tell you much more about me because we're going to have an activity which has to do with the sheets of paper that I have put on your table. We are going to do an activity called Who Are I? And I hope you realize that as grammar Nazis that there's something wrong with this grammar. And I'll tell you why that is. But your task first is to pick up a pen if you have own pens, preferably in different colors, not just blue and black. I would like you to think you're at a party. What are 10 things that people would ask you about yourself and what would you tell them? Don't overthink it, just write down like 10 facts about yourself, 10 things that people should know about you. Write them around the star.
So questions or answers?
No, answers.
Oh, answers.
Yes.
In different
colors? No, one color, but if you have a different color, then use that different color. Take your sheet of paper and a colored pen. Next step is that I'd like you to walk around the room, compare your sheet with others, so we are actually at a party. So compare what you have on your sheet of paper. And whenever you detect that you have something in common, I'd like you to write your name next to that. So for example, if I walk up to Simon and I realize, oh, we're both ATCKs, then I'm going to sign my name on his paper, and he's going to sign his name on my paper. It's not a competition, so it doesn't matter how many signatures you have. It is important that you have some color on here and you talk to as many people as possible. Okay, so meet each other with a pen.
Is it more like exactly the thing, or like if you write down your age and the other one also is something you have in common?
No, it should be the same.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it could still be that you are a TCK from Peru and others had said, hey, I've been to Peru on holidays. Then that would still be the same.
Okay.
Yeah, or you can just share one thing about yourself. You can say, hey, I'm Esther, and I'm mom. And then maybe someone else can say, hey, I relate to that.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if it's not on my list, but it's still true.
Yeah, sure.
So
yeah.
Because
people will have different ideas. So that we could go on with this for hours. I'd like you to go back to your seats, please, people. Mm-hmm. It's on. Yeah. Okay, maybe it was too soft. Oh, okay. I'd like you to go back to your seats, please, even though you could continue talking for a long time. Yes. In my classroom, I normally have a bell that I ring. I didn't want to bring that and treat you like little children. I hope that all of you have some color on your sheets now and that you recognize that there are many things that you have in common. If you have a closer look at your sheets, I hope that there are a couple of things that no one signed.
Yes.
Can anyone share what they have that no one has signed?
I'm an engineer.
Okay, we have an engineer and no one can relate to that. More things. Maybe just speak out loud. We don't need the mic, I suppose. Okay, don't talk to Esther about that. If you're invited, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, no goat cheese here.
I live in Kenya.
Okay.
I come from Ipsa in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
I just moved here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I speak before then.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much for participating. When we come back to the grammar question, I put it that way to show that we are actually very diverse people. We do have things in common, but we also have things that make us unique. I'm not saying that we're paranoid or schizophrenic. Yeah, we're not several personalities, but we are people with a lot of facets. What it comes down to with this exercise is basically the question of identity. If you look at the dictionary, you find that identity means the distinguishing character or personality of an individual or total character peculiar to and distinguishing an individual from others. So the things that you mentioned, some of them might relate to others, but overall, there are things that only you have and that make you you. If we think a little bit more of characters that establish identity, what would you say are some factors that are important for identity? You maybe know this model. It shows that there are three main factors that determine identity, not that the others don't determine it, but these are probably very important, namely family. So who are the people who are very close to you, and that can refer to your nuclear family or the extended family, depending on the culture. What about the place you live in? And who are the people who are also in your community? And once again, depending on the culture, this can be very fluid, yeah, that everyone in your village is basically your aunt and your cousin, or they're just distant neighbors. This is obviously a very ideal model, and we're not talking about ideal people here, we are talking about cross-cultural people. So their model would probably look more like this. They move a lot, which means they often have new family, or they have to say goodbye to family. They often have to get used to new places, and with new places you have new rituals.
Can we get the slides?
Yes. Okay. There are a lot of slides, so you will get them. And also new community, because either you move or someone else from your community moves, so you have to say goodbye and hello to many people on a constant basis. Why are we talking about identity? The reason is because when we transition, something happens to our identity. Not just at a child's age, but throughout life. So when we talk about transition, we always have to think about how is our identity challenged. So which factors are actually challenged in transition? That's why I started with this, and we have to keep this in mind. Who are we talking about? We already saw this definition up earlier. We're talking about cross-cultural kids as people who have lived in or meaningfully interacted with two or more cultural environments for a significant period of time during developmental years. You might notice this is not the original definition, this is the extended version. To incorporate and maybe also mirror that we are no longer just talking about the small MK bubble and also not the TCK bubble, so people who leave one country and then come back, but people who grow up in multicultural environments. So it just becomes more complicated. This is the people we are talking about. What we also know is how TCKs go through transition. You've maybe seen this curve before, so there is a life before the transition, and then there's this whole valley of emotions you go through, not all at the same time and not maybe all of these stages, that you are afraid of these, that you resist and you're eventually depressed, and hopefully end up with re-engagement and feeling okay in this new place. The reason why it's so difficult for TCKs to go through transition, especially when they re-enter into their home culture, so their passport culture, is that they don't see it as a home. They're perceived as hidden immigrants, so they look alike, they often speak alike, but they don't think alike, which makes it a lot more difficult to adjust. So they often feel like they belong everywhere and nowhere. These are things that we already know. I'm not going to talk about these things because we already know them. I've been involved in ministry for about 15 years. I have been to camps as a participant. I have organized camps. And one thing that came up both in my life and in my siblings' life and many people who went to our camps said, thank you very much for the re-entry, it was good, now I'm okay, like I know how to work life in Germany, I'm done with this TCK thing. And then a couple of years later, I would meet some of them, and we talked about small talk, and eventually someone said, I'm haunted by this TCK thing. Like, I have to make decisions, I have to be an adult now, and it comes back, all these questions come back. It's like a ghost and it's haunting me, what do I do? Do I have to be a TCK for life? So I was wondering, how can we apply the knowledge that we have from dealing with re-entry, and we can maybe apply it to some other life transitions that we go through? So I would like to know, what other transitions do we have to go through? What comes to mind? So we don't talk about re-entry. People are back in their passport cultures. What are some other transitions that come to mind?
Mm-hmm. Teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
Even every birthday is a transition.
Yes. And some birthdays you feel more than others? Yeah. Yes.
Maybe becoming a mother.
Mm-hmm.
Losing your job.
Mm-hmm.
Menopause.
Mm-hmm.
Moving again.
Mm-hmm.
Retirement.
Yeah. I've picked a couple of them, not to say that I'm an expert on all of them, but we have a wide range, and it's also nice to just exchange ideas. So yes, we are probably not going to stay in one city or maybe even country as adults. That is a major change. And even if you move in the same country, like Germany is very diverse, if you move from the north to the south or the other way around, you feel like you're in a different country. And especially in this area, even if you move from one village to the next, you already feel like an outsider. Graduation from school or university is a transition. Getting married, becoming parents, a midlife, or as Gen Y would also even call it, a quarter life crisis. Yes, that is a thing. And I also picked crisis of faith, which can be a transition. And since I'm talking as a Gen Y person, this is a major deal. That's why I put it on the list. We have six different transitions, which means we have six tables, and I'm a teacher, so I'm going to let you do the work. I have a couple of tasks for you. So in your groups, I will assign you which of these transitions you're going to have a look at. I'd like you to quickly talk about what actually happens during this phase. So what are the changes that occur? And coming back, what kind of questions do you ask yourself during this phase? Coming back to identity and the different factors that make up your identity, which parts of your identity are challenged during this phase? And we don't just want to talk about problems. What could help in this phase to navigate these changes? In the end, we want to quickly present them. I will give you some paper to write down some help, which we'll collect here later on. The others you can just present orally. I guess we'll just go through the tables. Maybe we'll start over here. Can you do the moving to a new city or country? We'll have the graduation from school and university. Then the last ones in the back, getting married, becoming parents. And then we'll have the midlife or quarter life crisis. And the last one is crisis of faith up here. Same questions for all of them. I'll give you like 10 minutes maybe. Go. Can we have a look? It would be nice to hear your thoughts on these different areas. I guess we're just going to go through the different groups. These are not comprehensive. It's no problem. We can also collect the help together. Okay. Can we start hearing from the group in the front? What would you say are like challenges in this phase of life when you move to a new city or country? And how does it also challenge your identity?
We said one of the challenges is that it's lots of work to move, so it's practically really exhausting to do everything that needs to happen, both when you're packing up and when you're settling into a new place, which just makes you tired. And you have to say a lot of goodbyes and hellos. So that's that. And then do you want to say identity?
What kind of questions do you ask yourself? Oh, okay, so...
You don't have to answer all of them, maybe just like the most important things.
Oh, okay, the most important. So for that, yeah, we said that you start to doubt all of a sudden, so all the thoughts you had lined up all of a sudden on the day where it's supposed to happen disappear, and it's like, why did I decide to do this, and so on. And then the thing we discussed the longest was the way to navigate it is to give yourself time to... both for the practical stuff and for the emotional part, that you don't kind of want to see everyone on the last day and then have loads to do and end up busy, busy, busy and not really having the time to just think.
That's true. Maybe I should add, don't answer the last question. We'll first collect all the changes. No problem. My bad. And then we'll collect it. But time is probably one thing that's going to come up again and again.
Mm-hmm.
I have not put master solutions here. I put just my thoughts on there. So if you have the slides, you can read through them. I'm just going to go through them really quickly. These are just additions. Maybe to add, it's much more difficult to make friends as an adult. We're all adults. We probably know what it's like. If you have kids, it's maybe easier again, or if you have pets or some awkward hobbies that you can connect with. But if you are a normal person, it just takes you a long time because everyone is super involved. Also, depending on the culture you live in Germany, it's quite hard. Maybe also little things. I don't know about you, but there are some go-to places that are just nice to have. So like a coffee shop that you go to regularly, a library, a park. And that takes time, especially if you miss the one in your old place. Okay, maybe just pass on the mic to the others. How about graduating from school and university?
It was challenges, right? But the question? Well, the main challenge is taking a lot of decisions after you graduate, kind of like feeling like a teenager again who has to take decisions that are life-changing. And what else? You get a lot of questions from people, and it's very exhausting.
What are you going to do with your life now?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, yeah. A lot of questions. What else
can you say? Challenges. We said that support is one of the big things that you need to navigate.
And you maybe have to find new support systems.
But find new support, yeah. But or potentially have parents or people who know you from your past to help you make those decisions and think them through.
We also said it's something that a group does together. So your other student mates are going through the same. So it's something that helps. It's not just you're the one moving. It's a lot of people having to make a decision. That's like a difference, maybe, too.
Yeah, I wrote on that really changes your life rhythm. If you're a student, yeah, your schedule is basically made for you in school. Now you have to make your own. Even as a university student, you can decide, are you going to the lecture or not? Am I too tired from the party last night, so I just don't go? I can't do that anymore. I have to show up, otherwise students have no teacher. So there's more structure and more demands. No one will say, oh, yeah, that's a student, yeah. They can do these things. Like, you're an adult now, so please behave like that. So it comes with a lot of responsibilities. In Germany, we have so many insurances, and like they knew the day I graduated, and they sent me all this paper. Don't you want to sign up for this insurance? And you probably need this as well. So you suddenly feel like you're an adult now. If you want it or not, you're an adult. So it's like the stamp that you get. It also changes maybe parents, because especially when the kids leave after high school, it changes in the way that they give care. So maybe it's no longer about like, yeah, do they have food on the table? Is their laundry done? How can I be a parent when the child doesn't live at home anymore? So how does the relationship maybe also change? And how does my status as a parent change? Because I'm no longer just the cook and the laundry person. And these kinds of things, yeah. Do I talk every day? Do I call them once a month? Do I wait until they call me? That's probably also interesting. And yeah, you have to say goodbye to a lot of friends. Especially interesting, how many of your friends from school do you still stay in touch with? And how many just naturally fade out? Yeah, so you have to say goodbye also to flexibility because you're suddenly in the rhythm. Okay, how about marriage?
Are we talking about just the first question?
Well, they're all like sort of linked. These were more like, because talking about identity is a very deep issue, so the others were like trying to get you there.
Okay. So we said some of the changes, I guess, that happen with marriage are you're no longer living for yourself. So you're obviously living with somebody else, and you need to be putting them first. You're thinking about their choices, and you're thinking about what they like to do, and you're moving together. With jobs, each maybe you have jobs that you've got to think about who's going to be flexible, who's going to compromise, and living with somebody else as well, you've got to kind of care for them and put them before yourself, but also be willing to be vulnerable and let them care for you, and it works both ways. That's always physical movements, moving together, question. If this was one, questioning your parents, how they brought you up, because you may see how your spouse act is different, and they've been brought up a little bit differently, and it maybe that makes you think how you act with them as well. And you're discovering new habits that you are going to make, because it's no longer just family that you've grown up with. They've grown up differently, and daily life routines and habits that they may have. Communication, really important. You're no longer just thinking inside your own head. You're thinking out loud with somebody else. And needing to communicate that. And accountability. What did I write? Accountability. This was interesting. So we talked about actually now the relationship that you have with other people now. You've got your conscious, say if you have, if you're a girl and you've got lots of other guy friends, you've got to be really conscious how you act with them now, because you don't want to cause jealousy, you don't want to upset your relationship with your spouse. You want to honor them as well when they're not there. So you've got to act maybe a bit differently. And so it kind of goes with how our identity is challenged as well. So you're no longer an individual. You're thinking with someone else. And you're willing to compromise what you like and compromise for the sake of the other person. What we said to help navigate it.
Talking. Maybe keep that for later.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely a lot. I have zero experience, so you definitely mentioned a lot of things. So I'm just going to skip these to becoming parents.
Where do we start? Well, first of all, you become responsible for someone else for your whole life. Which might be a bit huge as a TZK to suddenly realize that, well, that comes also with marriage, because then it's also for life, but then it's even more for life when it's a child. So you get a new focus in life, which also changes your decisions, and you have to make the decisions not just with yourself and the child, but also in marriage, and have to agree on how to raise the child with someone else. You lose your independency. Maybe for someone also you lose your life as you know it. So if you have been basing your identity on things you've been doing and being, it becomes a huge, I think for many, challenge. Who am I when I don't have time to do the things I used to do? Who am I when I don't have time to, who am I? If it was important for people earlier to have long conversations with people and really deep conversations, you kind of lose that opportunity to have that. It's like changing every 3 minutes. You lose your independency. Maybe I said that. And also, at least I've been asking myself this, and I've talked to other TCKs asking that. This question is, how do I, as a TCK, raise a monocultural child? Mm-hmm. That's also something you might start questioning. Mm-hmm. And who am I now when I am a parent? Am I a TCK when I'm a parent, or am I just a parent? Yeah, so that was a lot of questions. We don't have... Do you want to do the...
We'll do it later.
Help, okay.
Once again, zero experience. I quote my mom, who says that when you become a mother, then a part of your heart is living outside your body. She doesn't remember saying that, but all of her kids can quote it. So we mentioned a lot of negative things, but it probably something that changes that you experience unconditional love. Yeah, no matter what you do to the child, it will always come back to you and love you. You mentioned responsibility. You also mentioned that, you lose control. And maybe at some point you think, like, am I still a person, or am I just taking care of this other human being? Okay, how about midlife or quarter-life crisis?
Okay, what happens during this phase of life, to make it short? Most of them feel dissatisfied, or something or not, some things are not possible anymore, and looking back, you evaluate your time or your life, so maybe loss of hope and dreams and unfulfilled expectations, and you are somehow in between your aging parents and your own children, and you feel less energy, I guess.
Yeah, hopefully you're also perceived as older and wiser. Maybe your role in job and family will change. Yes, exactly. So there are new opportunities, yeah, to celebrate the positive things. Maybe you also question your purpose in the world, especially if you defined yourself very much in what you're doing, and maybe now things change. And maybe also you observe changes in your body, and you might or might not like them. Okay, the last one, which is maybe a little abstract. How about crisis of faith?
Why is it abstract?
Well, let's see.
I mean, we discuss about a lot of things. It might be related to because you don't understand something that's happening. Let's say a sickness or something bad that happened. It might also be just because you got more into contact with people that questioned your faith. And it might also just be because you yourself have never thought, I mean, like myself, I grew up as a missionary kid. So I had to go through this because I had never found my own faith, to put it that way. But God doesn't have grandchildren, right? So I had to find it myself. And when you go through it, you ask yourself questions like, what do I need this for? Is that God actually there? Why does God not help? What do I live for? Why am I here? So very existential questions as well. And depending on how important this was in the first place for your identity, it might have a large impact, obviously, on yourself. So if it defined your worldview completely, then the question is, what is left over, basically? I mean, why am I here, basically? Then what could help?
Leave that for
later. Oh, okay.
If you start questioning, you might miss a place where you can actually voice these questions and doubts. Because depending on how conservative you were raised, you might lose a faith community or you might miss a faith community that embraces you with your questions. It can lead to existential questions like, is there something like heaven and hell? Am I still going to heaven even though I doubt certain things? Am I still a child of God? Which is like one of the very core issues of identity. But Christianity or faith can be a moral compass, and that might be a little off balance, depends on what kind of questions you ask. And since this might affect especially MKs, we might also question the validity of our own MK story, because it's built on, I went there because God sent us over there and this was our task. So if we question that maybe evangelism is not what we believe in anymore, or we don't know if it's done, or we would still subscribe to the methods of how it's done, how far can we tell our story, and how do our questions fit into the story that we tell about our lives? Thank you for sharing all these. The reason why I came across this was when I experienced my own life transition, namely from being a student to actually entering the working world. If you study in Germany to become a teacher, you have to go to teacher training, which is 1.5 years. They always call it, it's teacher hell. So if you survive it, you're going to be a teacher. I studied in Tübingen, which is a rather small town, about 30 minutes from here. It's really quaint and beautiful. If you have a chance, go and visit it. And I was glad that I could stay for this 1.5 years, because I did not want to go through this, like, make new friends while you're busy surviving this teaching hell. So I was glad I could stay. I lived in the north of the city, and I had to commute to the school I was teaching at, and I had to take a bus every day to the train station, which was in the south of the city, and that bus went through university campus. So every day I would commute very early in the morning, everyone was asleep, I went through the university campus. Every afternoon I would come back, I was totally exhausted because I was up early, and I once again had to go through the university campus. And then I saw these students just like putting their feet into the fountains and lying there, reading papers, but actually doing nothing. And I was so angry, because I thought, I am so exhausted, I'm doing something, and they're doing nothing, yeah? And their parents pay for them to just relax, yeah? I just want to go back to this. Now I'm glad that I'm, like, for some parts, I'm not unhappy that I'm not a student anymore, even though I still miss a couple of things. So what are some normal reactions? My reaction, as you saw, was a little bit of a culture shock. So we come back to this. This is not just true for cultural transitions. This can be true for life transitions as well. That, yeah, things happen. We move, or we become older, or we get married, we have kids, and we fall into this hole. Maybe you're also familiar to the cycle of grief, and I do believe you can apply it here as well. So you experience something like nostalgia, everything was better in the old phase, yeah, why can't I just be a student anymore? It was so much better, I totally forgot about the papers I had to write and the professors I had to please, it was just great being a student. Then there might be some resentment, yeah, there is nothing to like here anyway, why did I decide to become a teacher? That's a stupid decision, let me just go back. I can't, but yeah. When I realize I can't go back to this anymore, I eventually have to grow up, we might fall into depression. There was a time when I actually started blogging and I wrote down, I don't know who I am anymore. And then your sister sent me a package and said, yes, you're still beautiful and here's lots of candy, go eat it. Because, yeah, I was wondering, like, I define myself so much with, like, my old things. And now I don't have them anymore, so who am I anymore? Hopefully we'll get to the point of exploration when we say, yeah, maybe things aren't so bad. It is actually nice to have some money and not worry about every single cent that we have. And hopefully at the end we will get to this point of balance and we say, this new phase can actually add something to my life. It doesn't take away, it does, but it also adds something that I can appreciate. So if you look at this and all the transitions that we talked about, maybe you would think, why is it such a big deal for CCKs? I mean, all of us have to go through it, which is true. And I'm not saying that every CCK reacts with the reactions I just shared, but I still believe that it is worth talking about it because based on our history, we often start with a much less stable sense of belonging. Not identity. I'm not saying that everyone is unstable in their identity, but it has a lot more factors to consider. So it might look a little bit more like this Jenga tower. So maybe a transition might knock us out much faster or it might hit us more at the core than people who've lived in their own place and in one setting all their lives. And because we have had to say goodbye so many times, we are not particularly good at it. Many CCKs, they just move and move and move and they say goodbye and goodbye. But if they've never processed things really properly, they carry a lot of unresolved grief. So every new transition will just add more to it, and it won't get any easier. But once again, I'm not saying that this is true for every single CC case. So what can we actually do? What might help in dealing with our life transitions? We already collected a couple of things. Give yourself time. Find out about your support system, so especially by people who know you, and hopefully you can add new people to the system. What else did you discover in your groups? I know that many of you didn't get that far, but I'm sure that there are still a couple of things that are coming up. Has anyone written something on a sheet of paper?
No.
It's fine. Otherwise, we can just collect it, and I'm going to write it down.
Dare to ask for help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will start with the most obvious one, but maybe also really overlooked. We are cultural experts, so either we've lived in different cultures or we work with people, so we've done a lot of cultural training. And probably when we prepare people to go on the field, we try to help them understand what do you do when you enter a new culture. We don't tell them just be yourself, so be like the German and expect that all the rules are going to be followed. Don't expect Weissbier in the middle of nowhere. So learn to observe, learn to ask questions, learn to give yourself time to get to know this new culture. And I would propose that this is also a new culture that we are dealing with. So transitions actually make us childlike again. We will feel helpless sometimes because we've never been this old and we've never been a mother or a married person or an adult before. So we need to figure out this new culture and that takes time. Just like I did when I was very little, these are my feet. We need to learn to take baby steps. We might have to fall, we have to get up, we might have to ask people to hold our hands, while we learn to walk again. And just as we do with little kids, we celebrate every single step they take and every little development they take, we also have to celebrate these little things. So maybe find little challenges that you can do. Say like, okay, today I'm going to try out a new coffee shop, or I'm trying to connect with someone. I'm going to find a mommy group I can connect to, or other spouses. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to give church another go, depending on the questions that you're asking. The other thing is also something you're already familiar with, so I'm not reinventing everything, I'm just trying to reapply things, which is the RAFT that Dave Pollock has developed. For those who don't remember, RAFT stands for Reconciliation, Affirmation, Farewell, and Think Ahead. What could they mean for life transitions? Reconciliation means to settle your accounts, literally and metaphorically. Yes, as an adult, you might have to close a bank account and open another one. Don't drag things along that you don't need anymore. But also metaphorically, make sure that no tension is left between people, that friendships are settled, that questions are not left unanswered, because they will come back to you. And maybe you can learn things from this that you can also apply in other situations. Take time to mourn, so that you don't have to deal with unresolved grief, which means you have to start early. I think someone already said this, yeah, don't wait until the last day and then you realize, oh my gosh, I have to leave. So just as you're packing boxes, also make sure that you're unpacking and repacking, what am I taking emotionally? I did that when I eventually had to leave Tübingen. So when I was done with my student teaching, I had the feeling I was done with this place, not because I hated it, but because I had learned everything I was supposed to learn in this place, and I had also given everything that I was supposed to give. So I took enough time to prepare myself and make sure that I settled my accounts. What also helps is maybe to practice gratitude for what you do have, instead of saying, okay, I'm leaving all these things behind. Reconcile yourself with the many things that you have learned and can take away from this place. Something very practical is a gratitude list. You can just start writing things down. Affirmation, I think, is true for two things. Number one is, we wrote down support network. We said, dare to ask for help and ask questions. That we don't fall into this hole and say, withdraw, because no one can understand the place I'm in. You will find more people than you think who can say, me too. They can be TCKs, they can also be non-TCKs, because many of these things apply to others. So sometimes it just takes one brave person to open up, and then others will say, thank you for finally saying this, because I feel like it, and I wasn't brave enough to put words to it. So be honest about your feelings and your questions. Maybe don't expect an answer or a solution straight away, but to just know that someone hears and holds my questions can already bring some relief. Affirm the people you already have in this place. So when I left, I wrote notes to all the friends that I would have to say goodbye to, and I just thanked them. Thank you for being with me in this phase of life. Not saying I will never speak to you again, but we know that we will not stay in the same kind of connection when we actually move on. So to affirm the people and thank them for, yeah, how they have shared your life in this phase of, in this phase. But maybe also celebrate the skills that you have learned in this phase of life, because you can take these skills into the next phase. These can also be very little rituals, which might help us transition. What are these little things? I already mentioned coffee shops, maybe just because I love coffee, or these go-to places. Not everything changes so drastically that we are able to carry some of these rituals. It might take a while, because depending on how much your next phase changes, but we'll hopefully rediscover. It's not about the very same coffee shop or about the very same people, but if we recognize I do need someone I can talk to regularly, we will find people again. Or I do need places where I can process, we will find these again. One thing that I learned in Tübingen was the value of food. I was part of a student group that cooked a lot together. One main meal that they had was Thanksgiving. And I wanted to take this with me, and I started inviting people over. Last time I had 17 people in my apartment. I'm not saying that I'm the best cook, but I've recognized that bringing people to the table opens up all new spaces, and they tell me stories that they probably wouldn't otherwise. So I'm glad that I learned this skill over there because people introduced me, and I could now take this and introduce other people to this value. Farewell means not only saying goodbye to places, people, and possessions. I believe it also means saying goodbye to who you were in this phase of life. So maybe to your independence, maybe to being an individual only, maybe to being a student who could show up whenever or not show up, maybe to someone who was a steady worship leader and now doesn't know what to sing anymore. I think I've told the story before. I used to do a week of awesomeness when I left the US. I just wrote down all the things I still wanted to do. So these were restaurants, these were late night cruises through town, these were funny things. And I invited people to come along. So we had a farewell of rituals, of places, of being together in this time. It was still hard leaving, but it made it easier because we affirmed each other and we said goodbye to streets, to rituals that we had. And the last thing to think ahead, so maybe also look forward to the benefits that you have in this next stage of your life. Along with this goes the idea that a next phase is not only loss. Yes, you're losing things, but you're also creating depth and you gain things. That can be more money as an adult, that can be a partner, that can be a child who loves you unconditionally, that can be having your life back after your kids finally leave the house, that can be new variety and maybe more depth in your faith as well. One question that often comes up in transition is, so what do we do with our past? And I guess why many CCKs do not want to move on is that they feel they're betraying their past if they move on. Two things that often happen is that either we become chameleons and we completely reject what happened in the past. I don't want to carry this chapter with me, so I'm not going to introduce myself like, yeah, I'm from all over the place or I'm a TCK because then I have to explain the whole story and that's too long. So I'm going to hide it and I'm just going to be the person I used to be last, which is a shame. I know it's complicated, but we have a lot of gifts and talents that we shouldn't hide from the world. And remain unseen. And the last thing is maybe, or the other alternative is that we are often stuck in nostalgia, so that we want to live in the past even though we're in a different place, which is not necessarily bad. I'm a very terrible nostalgic, but I have realized that it sometimes keeps me from engaging in my new environment because I'm so stuck on like engaging with old friends on Skype that I actually say no to engagements face-to-face, because I'm waiting for people to show up and then they don't. So examine your past, celebrate the skill that you have learned, and then also move on and use them in the new stage of life. And remember that moving on does not mean that you're forgetting or betraying your past or the people that were in this last stage of life. I wanted to maybe have a few notes on faith transition, because this is maybe a little abstract depending on the background that you have. But as I said, it is a major deal for Gen Y people and probably even more for Gen X people. I used to think that faith was a linear journey onwards. So at one point you make a decision for Jesus and then you grow in faith and eventually it'll lead to heaven. But actually I think it is not like that. It is more a circle. Maybe you're familiar with this model. Different stages of faith. So yeah, you are very engaged at the beginning and it is important that you grow in community, that you're active in serving. What's interesting is this phase, which is called the wall here. So there's a point when you maybe start questioning and there's not a limit to say it happens at age so-and-so or when this or that happens in your life. So there are different reasons why you might hit a wall in your faith. The interesting thing is that when people hit this wall, many of them think, oh, I think I just have to turn back. I will just see, can I just go back into community? Can I just go back to how things were? And then I'm going to be all right. And I'm not saying that these things are wrong, but we often forget that there is faith behind the wall. And we sometimes have to push through this wall to get a deeper understanding of ourselves, of God, and of how this relationship should work. Rachel Held Evans, who sadly died a couple of weeks ago, said that faith must evolve in order to survive. So when we think of faith not in a linear development but in seasons, we maybe are able to give ourselves time to appreciate each of these seasons and recognize that there's something to learn and to gain in all of them. There's a blogger called Eddie Zierman who developed resources to deal with these different seasons. I'll explain them in a minute. And she said, what are some signs of these different seasons that are appearing? So just in like normal weather seasons. So there might be seasons that are very fruitful. There might be seasons that are very easy to live through. What are some signs of these that we recognize we are in this season of faith? And we can write these down so that we might come back to this. Since we're going in circles, we will eventually come back to seasons. Because one question that probably often comes up, when is this season going to end? I'm probably never going to get out of this. In order to realize this is not true, something like this would help us. To appreciate what are some gifts of this season, maybe also what challenges are there, not to deny that things are hard, and what are some resources that can help me in the season? What are some practices? What are some rituals? Probably you're familiar with the seasons. Depending on your life or your part of the world, we do have four seasons, we do have two seasons. She came up with what the North American Cree, which I presume is a Native American tribe, came up with is eight seasons, because they added in between seasons. And two of them are pretty interesting, namely the freezing up and the breaking up. Since I grew up in the Southern Hemisphere, I'm not particularly fond of winter. But the way that she described it is that if we look at this time, yeah, when things are dying down and things are freezing up, we don't see what's happening. On the surface, yeah, things are covered, things are dead, they seem lifeless, but below the surface, a lot of things are happening. And then we're surprised again what actually comes up in spring. But these things wouldn't happen if we didn't have these in-between seasons. Even though climate change is moving ahead and we don't have so much of snow anymore, but I hope that you still have some memory of that, of this breaking up season. And I'm not talking about relationship breaking up, but when the ice is cracking and you have like one crack and then you see a little bit of water coming through, you see grass like coming through, you see the first flowers breaking through the snow, that is something wonderful. And these things happen below the surface and they need to happen. I can't tell you how long they take. Our winters might be different than the seasonal winters. They might take longer, they might take shorter, but they are important. So ultimately, these things hopefully lead to a change of perspective, that we say transition is not only a story of loss. I'm not saying that it is never loss, because it is, and we do need time to mourn, but it's also gain. Maybe to finish up, this is my friend Tori. She's a TCK from Hungary. And we've gone through quite a bit together. We have gone through similar transitions and we have asked ourselves the big questions and despaired because we didn't have any answers. And we've slowly discovered a lot of depth that came out from asking the questions and not stopping asking these questions. And she recently posted this picture and I found it really, really interesting because she said, yeah, there's still a lot of darkness, but if you look around, there's so much beauty and color. So we have to say goodbye to places, to people, to aspects of ourselves. But if we don't stop there and we take time to process and eventually come out at the other end of the cycle, we realize how much beauty, how much depth, how much richness, and how many colors are out there in these new phases. May it be in a new city, may it be with new people, may it be in a relationship, may it be with our kids. May it be in this new season of life, and may it also be in our faith, that we recognize God is much bigger than the concepts we had so far, and he wants to meet us in unexpected places. We hopefully realize that our life is much deeper than the bubble we have known so far. A couple of questions maybe for you to take away that you can we can either still talk about now. We have a couple of minutes left, but I also encourage you to talk about with people at this conference or at home. I do offer tonight at our social night that we can find a table if you want to talk about these questions or share your stories. What kind of transitions have you experienced so far? what challenges came with these transitions, what has helped you in these phases, and what do you want to take away from the session for your next transition?
I was just thinking that it's actually an issue that is interesting and important for all the people I know, whatever they come from and how they were raised or where they were born. And I think it's interesting also to share these things with all our friends and see where we have things in common and problems concerning transition, whatever phase of life or place it might contain.
Yeah, we could definitely add, who are your support people? I like the idea of also talking to those before us, because often we can get stuck in like, yeah, it's important to have these me too moments, but then we're also all in the same mess and we can only make ourselves more miserable. Talk to our parents, to older people in the church, or depending on who you know, how have they handled these things? Because even though the world is not the same like 30 or 50 years ago, some challenges are still the same. She was first. Then you can go.
I think what was really clear out of your presentation, and I liked it, is that you have the transits of phases of life as well. So I think for me, a huge problem was that as a teenager in the US, I came to Germany, then the UK, and when I tried to go back, I tried to replicate my teenage years in the US, which had changed not because I had moved, but because people had grown up and the place had changed. And to understand that sometimes it's not only transiting the places, but the phases. So this would have happened anyway, even if I was here. I'm now Sarah as an older person, as opposed to Sarah as a 16-year-old. And to make the difference between those two things clear to yourself.
Mm-hmm. When my son was in a difficult stage, I can't remember, maybe he was 10 or 12 or something, somebody told me, well, growing up is a messy business. And that really helped me as mother to not put the guilt on myself and thinking I'm a bad mother, why can't I handle this kid? And can be like that.
It might be like, it might be like really difficult to find a balance. Like there's no book of the world to say this is normal and this is abnormal. Because every child is also different and every person. But it might help that there are a few things. Marion also mentioned that earlier in her session, there are a few normal child development things, so it's normal that kids have to go through puberty and certain acts of rebellion to not say, oh yeah, now I'm freaking out because of that.
We listened last year to a very challenging message from a South African. He is running a ministry, The World Needs a Father. And he was challenging growing up, I mean, family issues, yeah? And he said, everybody should have a support table, and a table where you place different people at. It really challenged me. And he said, at your table, there should be somebody who is older than you, somebody who is the same age, like friends, yeah? You're on the same eye level. Maybe somebody from another race, to make you more wider, your view wider, and also a mentee, your mentor, yeah. And I think it's, for me, it's not easy to find somebody who's older. I have some mentees and I have some people on my level, but it's really a struggle, and I think it's something also the church should consider more, mm-hmm. that older people help younger people, yeah, and yeah, I'm still looking for somebody who can mentor me, mm-hmm. yeah, somebody older who has maybe gone also through missionary mm-hmm. career and all of that, yeah, and who understands a little bit, but I thought that's a wise thing, and he was saying, as a parent, we should also look that our kids have such a mm-hmm. table, yeah, do they have a mentor and all of that, and well, it's something that can really help in phases of life to go through, if you have this table set. Some people.
I like this idea very much. Mm-hmm. Jackie mentioned that especially Gen Y and probably Gen Z even more, they demand cooperation and they demand authenticity. So it might not be true for the older generations. Yeah, well, we've done our things and you have your own struggles, or you don't respect us enough, or we have nothing to teach you because your world is so different. Which is sad for your generation that you are struggling to find people. So it's a good idea to teach all the generations afterwards, look out for these people, demand that they are there, and be there for other people as well.
And it's also biblical. I mean,
yeah,
older mothers should teach the younger one.
Yeah.
And that
so kind the concept of family, the, yes. the concept of mother and fatherhood is actually bigger than just the nuclear family.
What I also like about this is that it's not something just some people go through. It's something that, like, it's very general. So it makes it open to share with others what we may have learned through our TCK phases. And now I just had to think of my work colleagues who also moved to this new working place, and where I'm like, oh, I'm going to take a picture of this and send it to them because they will really rely on this. So it's something where I'm like, oh, wow, I can share now my experiences of my TCK life with them, and we can actually share together going through this transition. So it's something that makes it more that I can feel like I belong to other people also. It's not something going on in the TCK mm-hmm. area. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you mentioned earlier that you also ask yourself the question, how can I be a TCK mother? Which probably not all your monocultural mothers can understand, but you also have something that now relates you to monoculturals, which might also be a nice thing, that for once you feel like you belong with this aspect of your life, and maybe you can teach them aspects as well. Yeah. Okay. I don't know who was first.
There's a book that I found quite helpful. It's called Praying Our Goodbyes by Joyce Rupp, who's spiritual director, and she picks up on a lot of these themes.
Mm-hmm. And I also think we have a huge advantage. We know God and we have the Bible, and I think we have to emphasize that as well.
I will probably add these to the PowerPoint, and then you have the complete list. Any other comments? Well, we are on time. Our time's up. Thank you very much for coming and for participating so well. As I said, if you have more questions or stories, tonight is definitely an opportunity. Otherwise, enjoy dinner in about 30 minutes.